But today I'd like to first of all go into the update which you all have received, should have received, update 1053. And while I go through it, I will make some additional comments and explanations. First, the editorial was written by Mr. René Messier in Canada with the title The Burden of Sin, and he draws an analogy between an animal which can only carry so much before it breaks down, and us humans who can only carry so much when it comes to sin before we break down. And he points out sin has a very similar effect on us if we do not deal with it. It becomes a burden on us, showing us or slowing us down in our spiritual growth and in our driving distance between us and God. And a little later he writes, we have to be careful not to pile on the sins to the point where it breaks our back, spiritually speaking, and hardens us to the point we don't want to repent, and thus ultimately, of course, commits the unpardonable sin from which there is no return. But you might want to read the entire editorial because it has a very valid point and, of course, a very sober warning. The current events, I'd like to, first of all, just read to you our summary, our introduction. We say that we begin with the tumultuous events and election of Republican Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, his concessions and his priorities and intentions, as well as Donald Trump's crucial role in McCarthy's election. We speak, though, also of the disappointment of many of Trump's supporters, the latest scandal involving President Biden, the FBI's alleged, quote-unquote, absurd conduct, and we publish an article discussing America's tax system. We then address allegations against Adam Schiff in relation to veteran journalist Paul Sperry, President Biden's visit to the border, and the unfortunate and ill-advised American extension to the, to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for foreign travelers, as well as other related disturbing developments. We address the turmoil in Brazil, which is in a sense somewhat reminiscent of the attack on the US Congress on January 6, 2020, and controversial moves by the Ukrainian government under Zelensky. We speak on Israel's isolation in the world without many or any true friends and supporters, and we conclude with appalling statistics of worldwide deaths in 2022. We also then refer to a new Standing Watch program, which I will talk about more in detail in a moment. I'd like to bring up a few things when it comes to the current events under the Week in the News section. And before I do that, I'd like to again point out something very important, something which we have been pointing out time and again, but it looks like that some are willfully ignorant as to why we write what we write. And so let me now read it again, because every time we are publishing an update and the current events, we have at the very end an acknowledgement and disclaimer. And that is what we say. These current events are compiled and commented on Norbert Ling, I mean myself. We gratefully acknowledge the many contributions of news articles from our readership. The publication of articles in this section is not, I emphasize not, to be viewed as an endorsement or approval as to contents or accuracy of these selected articles. But they are published for the purpose of pointing at worldwide developments in the light of biblical end-time prophecy and godly instructions. Our own comments are provided in italics. So if there's not italics, that is not necessarily our comments. Now, some just don't want to accept that. And that has consequences. And I'll talk about those in a moment. But having said that now, let's go into the Week in the News section. And we are quoting articles here, talking about the historic 15th ballot of course, the election of the House of the Speaker, or the Speaker of the House, rather. And then we talk about McCarthy's concessions and his priorities and what he wants to do. And in an article posted and written by Fox News, it talks about the fact that he also conceded to the point that he wants to ensure that no bills are brought up on the floor until at least 72 hours have passed. Now here comes our comments, right? Now these are our comments. And we say in there, this last change was adopted to allow congressional members to at least read a bill before they vote on it. Remember the omnibus bill, which was over 1,000 pages long and was just placed on their desk. Nobody had really a chance to read it, and they approved it. We go on to say, of course, there is no guarantee that they actually will read and understand it. Because even if you get a bill which is 1,000 plus pages long, only for 72 hours, you probably are not going to be able to understand it. And some will, even if you read it, and some will then try to summarize it for you, but you have to rely on the summary. We go on to say, it was the first time since 1923 that a nominee had not won the gavel on the first vote. In 1856, it took former House Speaker Nathaniel Prentiss Banks 2 months and 133 rounds of voting for the House of Representatives to settle on a leader, the longest stretch on record during debates over slavery in the run-up to the Civil War. New Jersey's William Pennington required 44 votes to take the gavel in 1860. Now, this time it was 15. And then Mr. McCarthy was finally voted in. So it was, in a sense, a unique situation after, you might say, 1860. Now we'll see how this all is playing out. We did point out that, in our summary, that Mr. Trump has disappointed many supporters, what that's all about. There are several situations which have taken place. I'd like to focus on one. LifeSide News published on January 5 an article by its co-founder and managing director. And it has to do with the abortion issue. And Mr. Trump felt that the Republicans didn't get all the votes during the midterm elections because there were those candidates we did not accept. They did not accept any exception to abortion. Now here is LifeSide News writing this. Any pro-life persons who advocate exceptions betray a weakness of conviction, a lack of trust in God and the power of his truth. Either all human lives are sacred or they are not. Either every child is a human from conception, regardless of the circumstances under which they were conceived, or they are not human. There is no in-between category or argument. And we have written, or rather we have published articles in the past, a person who had been conceived through rape, incest. She was not aborted. She's alive. And she reflected on that, and she said, well, if those who do believe in exceptions to abortion would have had it their way, I would never have been born. Now I'm married. I have children. And on it goes. So it's something to really think long and hard about. I believe the article is absolutely correct. If you say that a human being is conceived, at that moment he is a human being, then killing that human being cannot be right in the eyes of God. Now, he also says at the end of this article, we must change to a policy of being wise as serpents, but also fully placing all our trust in God, who is the only one who can save us at this time. If we continue to compromise on his principles, he will not save us. And you read the Bible, you read especially the Old Testament prophecies, and you know that that is exactly what the Bible says. God is not going to save us. If we are willing to compromise on some important issues like as these, but of course there are other issues too, obviously, on which we mustn't compromise. Now we have an article in there regarding the concept of taxes, and that's always a very hot topic. So the article, of course, was published by the Ron Paul Institute. And at the end of this article, he says that he feels that income tax must be eliminated, not merely reformed. And he also points out, of course, there are loopholes in the tax system many times that rich people don't have to pay taxes at all, and it's completely legal. Now, here are our comments. Jesus told us to pay our taxes, to give Caesar what is Caesar's, Luke 20, verses 22 to 25. But this does not mean to give Caesar what he does not require, and it does by no means justify the king's or the government's abuse of tax money and spending it for ungodly purposes. Therefore, there is nothing wrong, biblically, with the idea of the government simply eliminating taxes, such as the income tax. Furthermore, Samuel described the king's or the government's practice of taxing people as a curse. And you might want to read that in 1 Samuel in chapter 8. We also read that a king or a government which imposes heavy taxes ruins the land. And you find that in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 4, if you, for instance, go to the New American Bible. So much for taxes. And I think the position we are taking is very biblical and very clear. You have to pay taxes, give Caesar what is Caesar's, but you don't have to pay more than what is due. You most certainly can take advantage of what would be a tax credit or whatever it may be. But the overall principle is that God is saying it's a curse. Well, you'll still be living under the curse, but it's still a curse. And that's what we need to understand. And in the world tomorrow, there's only going to be tithes and offerings. No more taxes. That's something also to think about. Now, I did talk about the incredible extension of the vaccine mandate for international visitors. It was first supposed to be gone by 2022, then it was extended to January of 2023. Now it has been extended again until April 10, 2023, and who knows what's going to happen after that. Fox Business reported on January 4 that the U.S. government has quietly issued this extension, quietly, because most people didn't even know anything about it. Now, when this message struck, when it was becoming popular, I already received calls from German friends who were extremely upset because they wanted to come to the United States to visit. Now they can't do it because they are not vaccinated. America is virtually the only country in the world, if you are looking at quote-unquote civilized countries, which enforces this kind of mandate for foreigners. No other country does it. Europe doesn't do it. The United Kingdom doesn't do it. Canada doesn't do it. It's only a very few countries, and you wouldn't call them necessarily democratic countries, who do it. Now, why in the world America has to be the one who's also doing it, which makes no sense, is beyond explanation. The Washington Times wrote on January 5, critics of the rule say it is hampering tourism and that vaccination should be a personal choice, especially since the shots do not stop transmission of the virus outright. And then they point out that President Biden said the pandemic is over. And so they say, why then do we have to have still this vaccination mandate? And they point out that pre-pandemic international tourism generated close to $2 trillion in U.S. economic activity. So denying entry to unvaccinated foreign guests is denying us untold billions in revenue. And our comment is, no or none of this makes any sense, except that it deprives people of their individual freedom, prevents unnecessarily tourists from visiting the United States, and contributes to the destruction of the American economy. That is something we should also very clearly keep in mind. Now, we have an article in here which was published by the Mass tabloid Bild Online on January 11, and I don't want to take the time to read it to you, except for one quote, but it talks about a lot of suspected cases of corona vaccination complications on the one hand, and that the German government is refusing to help those people in any way. And of course, one very particular incident is described in this article by Bild Online. And then it says in this article, nationwide, talking about Germany now, the Paul Ehrlich Institute has so far recorded 50,104 serious suspected cases of corona vaccination complications. But in Berlin, in Germany, only 12 have been recognized out of 50,000. And only for those which have been recognized, the German government is going to give some financial help. So that's something to think about. Now, we have some articles about the situation in Brazil, and Lula da Silva, who is now elected the new president, and of course also the former president, Jair Bolsonaro, who apparently is now in Florida, and I was reading that he was in a hospital getting treatment there. But again, we have an article in there which says more than what makes, or it says here, more than meets the eye. I got a call from a friend who was telling me that he had just talked to a friend who had come back from Brazil, who was living there, and he said there was definitely, beyond what we are writing here in this article, there was definitely election fraud involved. Now, we're not saying how much, but this was an example where somebody voted, in this case for Mr. Bolsonaro, and they have a system over there where they can later look how it's being registered. And his vote was registered as being for Lula da Silva. And apparently this happened in some other cases too, we know of. So what in the world is happening there, we are not saying. All we are saying is something really interesting going on when it comes to that election. And it was a rather thin election, as we understand. Now, we talked about the government under Mr. Zelensky, and an article by Breitbart wrote that the European Federation of Journalists was strongly objecting to a new law which was passed in Ukraine. And this European Federation of Journalists is saying that we are surprised by the lack of reaction from Western countries. We don't understand why they don't tell Zelensky that this law does not live up to our standards. I would say that it will be impossible for Ukraine to join the European Union with a law like this, he said. And of course, we have been saying all along, Ukraine is not going to be part of Europe. They are going to ultimately going to be part with Russia. And however that is going to come about. There are also some other statements in this article about recent submission, or rather recent suppression, of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Our comment is, in times of war, these kinds of moves can be expected. The freedom of the press, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and of religious assembly will be constantly under attack. That's clear, because you wouldn't want anything stated which would be opposing the war you're fighting. That is one of the many reasons why war is wrong. Why war is always wrong. Not the only reason, of course, but one of them. Because the truth is falling down the street, so to speak. You don't hear it. Now, going on, there are more articles you might want to read. One I found interesting, a very short selection by the LifeSite News on, is the Catholic Church really undermined by the U.S. government? It's something you might want to read. Again, this is an article we have quoted without taking a position, but still interesting. The Q&A is talking about discrimination. The question is, how do you view discrimination, which is a big issue today? And this is a part one of at least three parts, and then we probably have another follow-up after that. In this Q&A, which was written by Brian Gale, he is talking mainly about racial discrimination and later on political correctness. Now, part two, which is already in the making, in the review process, that will go into the BLM movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the LGBTQ movement. So please read this one, and then of course look forward to the next one. And it points out what the Church of God teaches and what our position regarding those issues should be. The work. We are pointing out that we have a new Standing Watch program out there titled The Bible Prophesies the Third Temple Will Be Built. Of course, I'm aware of the fact that there are some who do not believe that, but this Standing Watch program goes into some interesting developments, and I just want to give you the summary. It says the Bible is very clear that just prior to Christ's return, a third temple will be built on the Temple Mount, and that animal sacrifices will be given there. In the light of that understanding, notice citations from many recent articles in the Wall Street Journal, Fox News, and several Israeli papers, as well as quotations from the Bible, which shed light on that fact. Now, you won't find the Wall Street Journal article in the current events on purpose. Now, first, I got this article rather late. I still could have plucked it in. I decided not to, because I don't want the Standing Watch program being a repetition of the current events section. And so when you watch the Standing Watch program and when you read the current events, and I hope you do both, you will see there are, of course, additional facts and there is additional material in the Standing Watch on that issue. It's an interesting article by the Wall Street Journal and in light of what we are talking about. But it's also important that we understand that these things are developing. And of course, the biblical quotations we have in the Standing Watch, of course, you won't find them in the current events either. So when we are sending out the update, we expect you, of course, to read it. And when we point out something in the Standing Watch, or a sermon, whatever it is, we, of course, expect you to listen to it. Now, when you read the update, and if you have read it, you will see that we have now announced that we are not only posting the Standing Watch program on YouTube like we normally do, but we've also now begun to post it on Rumble. In fact, all our material when it comes to messages, Standing Watch, sermons, they're all on Rumble. We want to make sure that if YouTube will ever shut us down, that we have alternatives. And we're also looking into other alternatives in addition to Rumble. And I would like to encourage all of you to go to Rumble and to look at our program there, as well as, of course, Standing Watch. And it's very easy. You just go to rumble.com. You don't even have to go to that link which we have announced here in the work section, rumble.com, R-U-M-B-L-E.com, and just plug in Standing Watch, one word, and you will get our material right away. Now, I have to say that I am not sure how to look at that insofar as views are concerned, because you have the number of clicks, which likes, then you have number of clicks which don't like, and then you have some kind of an icon, looks like an eye, looking at you. But I would first think, oh, the icon, that means the number of views. No, that's not what it means. Couldn't mean that, because I just looked at one program. It has 40 likes, 4 dislikes, and 4 with the icon. Obviously, it couldn't be views, because otherwise we wouldn't have 40 clicks. So I don't know how they do this, or 40 likes, rather. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that you go there, because this way we are becoming more known, so to speak. Of course, the more people go there, the more people click on it, then, of course, it is helping all of us. Of course, also go on YouTube. Now, we have an announcement here in our work section as to why we did that with Rumble and what is happening with YouTube, and I'd like you to read it yourself, because otherwise, if I read it now, who knows what the consequences would be. So read it yourself. You have the update. If you don't have the update, if you don't get the update on a weekly basis, please subscribe for it. You can easily subscribe for it, and then you are getting it on a weekly basis via email. Then you have it right there in your inbox, so you won't forget just going to the website. Maybe you forget to go there. So go and resubscribe, and you get the update immediately via email on your inbox. Now, of course, we've also posted all the other material. We posted, by the way, the latest two Standing Watch programs also on the German website, in addition to the English one. One other way of perhaps getting more attention, and of course, yes, the Germans do pay attention. There was an interesting communication today. Some people asked, why did you put that on the German? And of course, then discussions are back and forth on that. Sometimes we make mistakes. We're not saying we're perfect. And there is a very humorous mistake we made when we talked about the split sermon, which was given by Daniel Blasinger last Sabbath, and it was then posted. And the German title was Ein Fleisch. And when last night my wife Joanna comes to me and she says, look at that, did you see that? What the English was. And I did not look at it. That was a mistake I made. I should have really looked at this carefully. So it slipped through. So then the translation was a meat. It should have been, of course, one flesh. So it was changed on the website. So we had that change. But if you got the copy in your email, you may wonder, what does that mean? So again, these things do happen. We find out mistakes, we correct them. So I think it was rather humorous. But anyway, all this is now posted on the web, both on Google and on Rumble. And pretty soon, I believe, it will be on further vehicles as well. Because what did Jesus Christ say? He said, if they persecute you in one city, go to the next. He said, you won't even be done with all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes back. Now, today we're not talking so much with cities. Chances are we're talking with vehicles we can use, servers, websites, whatever it may be. And if God opens a door and he doesn't shut it, we are there. If God shuts a door, he will open another one. And so that's our concept. We are going to continue saying what needs to be said without compromising and let the chips fall the way they do.